if it's just the chorus, we know that's fine. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
you
flood this.
Come here, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Glory, God, is what our hearts.
is our prayer. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Flood this place, and we believe you've answered our prayers to flood this place with your mighty presence and take over and speak to us yourself. Holy Spirit, we're trusting you to touch our very hearts and make us get the message that you're trying to, that you're bringing to us tonight. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself entirely to you again. Thank you for using this vessel to bring your message to your children. In the name of Jesus, this message shall not be in vain over their lives. In the name of Jesus, we shall not be the ones who will turn deaf ears or be careless to what God is saying to us. Take all the credit, Father. Holy Spirit, take all the credit, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's about midnight, and the message is titled, "It's Almost Midnight. Stay awake and be watchful." So we will pray again. This is what every wise person should do at the dawn of every day. If you are not awake when the day dawns, anytime you wake up to a new day, do what we're going to do now. Father, we want to thank you for this new day. Saturday, the 21st of April, 2018. In the name of Jesus, we commence it. Father, we thank you for forgiving us all of our sins. We confess them to you already. And we say, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, to do everything according to Father's perfect plan, will, and timetable for us this day and the days ahead. We plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves. Mention your name. Plead the blood over yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over me, Lord. Over your children in our care. Bim Toy, Demola Fumi, Tony Inioluwa, all of us. We submerge them in the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over everything and everyone that pertains to us. And we submerge ourselves in the blood of Jesus. Against all the gods of Egypt have I executed judgment. I am the Lord. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. What we've just done, we need to take it seriously. Sister was praying a few minutes ago and was saying, look, you're alive, you're breathing, you're well. You go by the roadside, you go to shops everywhere, and you come back safe and sound. Don't take it for granted, because the days are evil. The days are evil. So, that's something that we recommend to all of us. As soon as a new day dawns, if you are awake, fine. If you are not awake, anytime you wake up to the new day, thank God for it, commit it to the Lord, and cover yourself, every child of yours, every member of your household, and all those who are dear to you. Cover them with the blood. Because that blood, no power can overcome it. No power can defeat it. No power can nullify it. It's not possible. And as you do that, confess whatever sins there might be, because we'll get to see that in a minute, in a few minutes. So that's just a, you know, preamble. So the purpose of this message, I said already, is to announce again that it is almost midnight. I know the clock says past midnight, but that's for today, 21st of April. It is almost midnight. That's what God is saying. And so he's saying, stay awake and be watchful. We will spend the next few minutes to look at the life of a key Bible figure in the Bible, in order to get this message across. And I'm sure God has answered our prayers. He'll get it across to us in the way that we can not only understand but retain. Because it's no use if you get something, it goes here and goes out there. It's a waste of time. But God, the Holy Spirit will make us retain it. In Jesus' name. All right. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. Good. We want to talk about Noah. You all know about him, or you've heard about him anyway. But I'd like us to pay a bit of closer attention to what happened to this man. Noah was 600 years old when God called him and said, I have an assignment for you. And what was the assignment? The assignment was that God looked, you see, in Genesis 1, at the end of Genesis 1, God created everything. He looked at all that he created, and what did God say? It was fine, perfect, beautiful, excellent. Okay? But then by the time we get to this point, this is chapter 6 of Genesis, the situation had so deteriorated. In fact, by Genesis 5, the world was filled with violence. The sins of the world were so many. And God, we'll get to it. God said, what have I done? Creating human beings? Look at what's happening. So Noah is a person that we're going to look at and look at him closely. What are the attributes of Noah? He was a righteous person in God's sight. He was blameless and he walked with God. That's what the Bible says about him. The next thing the Bible said about Noah is that he found favor with God. Can somebody read that to us, please? Maybe if we get it straight from the Bible, rather than me talking as if it's my idea. It's Genesis 6, verses 5 to 7. 5 to 7. Right. The version I have here says, and the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything man thought of or imagined was consistently and totally evil. I mean, evil. No other way to describe it. Okay? Verse 6. And God said, I am sorry that I created man. I want you to picture that. You see, if I say I'm sorry I did something, that can pass. If you did something, I say, well, I regret doing this thing. That can pass. But this is Almighty God, perfect, sinless, never makes any mistakes. And he now said, I am sorry that I made man. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And his heart was weighed down, grieved. Now, may God never grieve over us in Jesus' name. You see, when it gets to the point where God says, I'm sorry, I created this person. I'm grieving. You know, grieving is like, is lost something very precious. When a person is bereaved, they grieve. That's what God was doing here. And God said, this is terrible. I'm sorry. But in the entire universe, can you think of the whole earth? I don't know how many continents they had at that time, but look at all the continents, Asia, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, America, Africa, all of them at that time, because the earth is still the earth that God created. God could find who? Only one person. One. Not 10, not 1 million. Only one person who was righteous. And that one person was Noah. And so when I look at that, I understand why God felt sorry and regretted that he created human beings in the first place. Okay? So it grieved his heart. And he now said, verse 7, I will wipe out this human race that I have created from the face of the earth. Yes. And I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that run around the ground, even the birds flying and the fish in the sea. I'm going to destroy all of them and start all over again. You remember God said that on another occasion. Can you, anyone remember when God said that on another occasion? Long, long after Noah. Children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, God looked at them and said, I am, this is sad. These people, they have seen all the miracles, all the deliverance and so on. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses now stood in the gap and said, God, don't wipe them out. They will say that you are a God who cannot save them. That's why you destroy them in the desert. Okay? And there was an intercessor at that point. And because there was an intercessor, God spared them. Not because they deserve to be spared. God spared them, at least for a while. Okay? They still suffered because they did not repent. But let's continue with Noah. So, verse 8 says, but Noah found favor with God. Does anybody understand what finding favor with God means? You see, it means that God looks at you, he's excited. He looks at you, he says, I'm proud of him, I'm proud of her. He looks at you and says, what can I do to keep him or her happy so that I will continue to rejoice over him or over her? That's favor. Whatever you put your hand on, it prospers. Whatever, wherever you go, there's blessing. In fact, blessing ahead of you, following you everywhere. Noah found favor with God, but only one man. Can you picture how terrible the situation was? He found favor with God. Now, let us now go back to what we were looking at before, the attributes of Noah. The next thing we need to turn our attention to, keep this on the screen, look at the world in which we are living now, today. I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist. In other words, let us look at the world we're living in today. This is the world that says all kinds of things that are opposite to the truth. In fact, if you look at today's world, it looks as if they're really out to fight God. Many people, they not only say there's no God, we did a lot of that in the Bible study series. They not only say there's no God, they say, look, let God mind his business over there, and we will mind our business here. Don't let him disturb us. Okay? That's the situation we're in now. Now, the next thing I want to mention is that Genesis 1 to Genesis 6, what was this thing, what was different between the two states? One was perfect, the other one was just fit for destruction. What made God get to that point where he said, these people are wicked, they can't even think a good thought for any part of their day
any day.
What is the thing that made God feel so bad, so sorry? What is the thing that turned man against God and did cause all the trouble? The answer is a three-letter word. Can anyone give me the answer? Yeah. Sin. Rebellion. Rebellion is something that God cannot stand. You see, God can tolerate everything. Weaknesses, all kinds of things. God can make allowance for that and so on. But the one thing that God cannot stand is rebellion, sin. Anytime there is sin, God turns away. He cannot stand it. Because sin, that is rebellion, is challenging God's authority. That's what sin is doing. That's what Satan made Adam do. To say, look, you can become like God. I mean, why must you? You would be wise as he is wise too. But that was a trick. Let's go to the next slide. After the slides 4 and 5. Yeah, go to the next one. Oh, okay, sorry, before you do that. So he was blameless, he walked with God, he found favor with God. He also did everything according to God's prescription. The only other person in the entire Bible that we're told walked with God was Enoch. I'm not saying there were no other good people in the Bible. Abraham, you know, David, a man after God's own heart, on and on and on. But the Bible, the Word of God, singled out two individuals to say they walked with God. Why was that? I cannot tell, but I can make a guess. That everything, from our perspective, is relative. Relative, why? Because when Noah was there, he was the only one in the whole universe. I mean, is that possible? I wonder what kind of life he was living. Because you see, there was so wickedness everywhere. Wherever they go, they're abusing him. Whatever he does, they fight him, persecute him. Look at all of that in the whole universe. Right. So we now see in the contrast to today's world, let's go to the next slide now. In today's world, we now see what's happening. Okay, we mentioned that. Sin. We mentioned that also. So let's look at today's world in contrast to Noah's time. And then I will ask you to be the judge in terms of whether we're the same or we're better or we're worse. The first thing was that there was population explosion in those days. The Bible says so. And if you look at today, I'm sure you'll agree there's population explosion. They were talking about Nigeria's own just last week. And the United Nations was warning and saying, we don't know our population in Nigeria. They keep estimating. I think it's all false, but I don't believe it. But they say that by what year? Is it 2020 or 2030? That we're going to be over 200, that were 200 million now. And that by 2030 or something like that, we're going to be the fourth most populous nation on earth, after China, India, one other country. Explosion everywhere. The next one is there's corruption, indescribable corruption. If there's anything that's holding nations down and making them nosedive today, it is corruption. I don't know any nation that you can spare. But if you go to Africa, that's a special study. I'm glad we're all Africans here. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot have corruption and go up. Corruption is a millstone. If you put a millstone around the body and put it in the water, it's going to sink. Okay? The earth was filled with violence. We know about that. Parties, merrymaking. sexual perversion at that time, I'm not talking of today, I'm talking about that time. What you now need to do as we go is look at it. Do we have the same today or not? The next one, the buying and selling and planting and building. Look at today. Now we're competing about who's going to build the tallest building. The tallest one right now is in UAE. But Saudi Arabia said, don't worry, we're going to beat that. And so they've started their own project and they're going to go beyond that. The next one, which I think is the most important of all these, is that they ignored warnings about God's impending judgment. I'll say that again. Noah preached for over 100 years. Can you picture the meaning of that? Nobody is around 100 here in this room. Can you picture preaching for 100 years? And what was he preaching? He wasn't preaching believing Jesus. And No. He's just saying, look, what you're doing is evil. The judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. And what did they do to him? Was the only one. In fact, I must have taken God's special protection to keep him alive. Because Moses was about to be destroyed. Even Jesus, but for the grace of God, the Spirit of God, they would have destroyed him long before Calvary. He got to Calvary. They took him sometimes. They take him to the top of the mountain. And they would turn him upside down. That's Jesus. They want to turn him upside down and throw him down from the brow of the hill so that the head will come down and smash. But before they could do that, Jesus knew he wasn't going to die that way. He will free himself from them and walk through them and go his way. Noah must have suffered a lot. I don't know what he suffered, but, you know, he preached for over 100 years, according to the Bible. Next slide. Look, people loving themselves, money, boastful. If you go to America, America only, and you see, or America first, and you see when people are boasting, most of them are empty barrels, but they boast anyway. Okay, they're proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. Nobody respects elders anymore. At that time, think about now. Okay? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Pastor Demola was talking about forgiveness that, you know, before the Holy Communion started. These people, it was their nature. They did not forgive anything. Even if they say, I forgive, but I won't forget. Next one, they were brutal. They were treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at what's happening today. You know, people will take a lot of money. And what do they do with it? They go on sea cruise. You know, they just sit in a boat and they take you around. And the money that you spend doing that, much more than what all the poor people in your town or city would require to keep them alive. But nobody cares. Next one, they are forever learning. Look at what has been happening with learning in the world. We relocated a few years ago from Nigeria. At the time we left, there were 13 universities. Do you know how many universities are there in that country now? Anyone? Over 200. That's not the only country. It's because I know Nigeria better than I know Kenya and Zimbabwe and so on. I don't know what's happening in those other places. But people are just, you know, learning and learning and learning, and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is all 2 Timothy. Next slide. Look at the Western world. They used to be the champion of Christ's principles. They brought missionaries came to Africa, to Asia, to China, and all of that. But look at what is happening today in the West, the same West, including UK. Christians who should be celebrated and encouraged and supported, they are the ones now being persecuted. Okay? Now, if you're not familiar with Christian persecution in the Western world, I advise you to go to Christian Concern. You know, they send the weekly newsletter. If you want to read about it, just talk to Fumi, and she will make sure that they send to you as well. Just to read what's happening. Because now, as a teacher, even in this country, a teacher was saying, you know, just talking, and he says to one of the children, God bless you. Immediately, they picked her up, and they sacked her. That you are not meant to say that in the class. God has nothing to do with that. If you think that is fairy tale, it's there. Just, you know, she will give you the link. Another one went and said, this break time. And they were now talking, the children were asking about God, and he was now talking about Jesus and so on. They sacked that one too. They said, who are you to talk about Jesus? We did not pay you to talk about Jesus. Now, if somebody came and began to talk about Islam, no problem. Brixton in London, there's a prison there. There's a somebody, Sung, I think he's from Korea, S-U-N-G is his name. That man was sacked. Who sacked him? Because they brought a Muslim to be chaplain for the prison. You see, chaplaincy is nothing to do with Islam. They don't have it. This country was set along Christian principles, okay? And so there's chaplaincy for in the prison, in hospitals, and so on, just to encourage people spiritually. Now they say all religions are equal. That's what the new thing in the West. Therefore, Islam versus Christianity and Buddhism, they're all on the same. In fact, they prefer those ones than Christianity. They're out to fight Christians. Look at next one. Children are no longer safe in the community. You see, if anybody tells me that they've sent their children to a camp or something, the first question I ask is, are you familiar with the people who will be looking after them? Because the children are no longer safe. Okay? Next one. If you speak the truth, but it is not in politically correct language, you get punished. In fact, what they do is they sack people. There are so many people being sacked. It's got so bad. But now Christians are beginning to wake up. Thank God for that. And so that is being reversed. Because you see, all of this started because Christians went to sleep. What Satan needs is not Christian to fight or whatever. All he needs is for them to just be quiet and still and do nothing. That's what he wants. So that these other things can move. LGBT and all of those picked up because Christians stayed quiet. And they were selling cathedrals, converting them to mosques, converting them to buy-to-let houses. But we're beginning to wake up in the country now. So there was spiritual wickedness all over in high places. Next slide, please. Now, just as Jesus had warned us, okay, we'll give you the passages if you want, but I suspect we all are aware of it. He warned that even churches will not be spared. The church of Christ is not spared in this corruption. There are now many, many churches where godless people are rapidly taking over the hierarchy of the church, even of entire denomination. By denomination, you know what I mean by denomination. You know, Catholic is one, Anglican is another, and so on. Now, people who know nothing, in fact, people who are against God are now rapidly vying and they're becoming the head. So you can see the general overseer of this one, they have names. I don't put their names in my brain. And they are now there, and they are now dictating policies. So in today's world, many churches are being run like the Wall Street. Is anybody who doesn't know Wall Street? Wall Street is a business district in America, okay? And everything is run on for profit basis, on profit. They're thinking of the shareholders and so on. Churches are run like that now. So that, you see, the pastor or the overseer or whatever, so he can ride a jet and live in mansions and so on. That's not what Jesus came for. Next one, in today's world, no disciple of Christ, if he's wise, will depend 100% on the church leaders. I'll say that again. No disciple of Christ who is wise in today's world should rely 100% on church leaders. I know that this may offend some people. You know, you say, oh, how can you say that? I'm not saying all church leaders are bad. I'm not saying all church leaders are corrupt. But we're saying that leadership now is being taken over by people who know absolutely, in fact, anti-Christ people. So they're preaching, and what if you listen to what they're preaching, it sounds good. But in between the preaching, they bring in concepts that are totally, totally anti-Christ. If you've not observed that, if you can talk to me or something, I'll give you links. So you can hear Christian leaders, I mean respected leaders, say things that are totally anti the word of God. And I look at it and I say, God have mercy. But this man is a man of God. Yes, he is. But you see, Satan operates in different ways. Satan can take over a person completely. You know, then you say demon possessed. That's one category. Another category, Satan is going around for people who are either careless or self-conceited or whatever, and he wants to borrow them to use them briefly. Do you know what I mean by borrow? May Satan never borrow us in Jesus' name. And he would now put something, some concept in that nullifies what the word of God says. Okay? That's happening now. So every Christian who is wise today should make sure they read the Bible, the Word of God, themselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And if there are areas where you don't understand, you can talk with the church leaders, pastors, and all of that, fine. But remember that whatever you hear, whatever they say, has to be in tune with the Word of God. If it violates what God says, throw it out, stay with God. Okay? So, next one. I want to go to this one now. This is one area where Christians, I cannot say totally, but most Christians are either ignorant or careless, or I don't know. I won't say they're antichrist, no. Just give me that slide. Yeah. This matter is a very serious matter. Let us read Mark, or give us Mark 13, 28 to 31, please. It is a very, very serious matter. Okay, it says, now learn, this is Jesus talking, not man, not Paul or Silas. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. That's a normal thing, okay? In like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, Jesus was talking to them about what's going to be happening in the final, end time period, you're going to have churches taken over by Antichrist people. You're going to have parents being destroyed by parents destroying their children and all of that. It's in Mark 13. If you read it, or Matthew 24, you'll find the whole thing there. And then Jesus says, all of these things that I'm talking about, when you see them begin to happen, know that it is near, even at the doors. I'll put it another way. Learn the parable of the fig tree. Now, what does the fig tree stand for in the Bible? Fig tree, or even in the world, which is a nation that is unique and associated with fig tree and takes fig tree up as a symbol. Anyone? I'm surprised. Maybe that's why people don't pay attention. Israel, go online and say, what is the meaning of fig tree in Jesus' Jesus' teaching? Anytime they talk about the fig tree, go to Revelation. You find it there. Anytime they talk about the fig tree, the word of God, they're referring to one nation, Israel. Okay? So Jesus is saying, when you look in the physical realm, the fig tree, when it begins to put out fruits and so on and leaves, you say, well, summer is near. You say, the same way, when you see Israel begin to come to life, remember, everything I've told you that's going to happen in the end time is already taking place. And the generation, I'm reading further, verily I say unto you that this generation, that is the generation, people who are alive when the fig tree comes to life, they shall not have passed away till all of these things take place. All of these things is talking about the end of the world. Read Matthew 24, Mark 13. You find all the details there. And you see, every Christian must read it. Because what we were reading there, you get to CNN, look at news, it's all happening there. Okay? And when did the fig tree come to life? Oh, Jesus concluded, I say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We know that one. But we don't act on it. This is the danger. This is the serious problem with all of us. Israel is the... Please give me that thing about Israel. Put it again. No. The alarm clock. Yeah. God has given us an alarm clock. He says so many things are going to happen, and you're going to see them one after the other. He said them for the end time. But when you go through the Bible, right from Genesis, you will see that all that the Bible talks about makes Israel his alarm clock for us. What do we mean by alarm clock? You have a son or daughter, he's going to sit for an exam, or he needs to catch a train or something. So you buy an alarm, or you take your alarm and set it. This is the time to get up. Make sure that you don't oversleep. Or who are the other people? Shemilore is not here. That's my favorite, my colleague. Listen, when the alarm clock goes, you must wake up. Quickly dress up so that you won't miss the train, so you won't miss your exam. That's alarm clock. Now, God has made Israel the alarm clock for us. I'm talking for the whole world. Now, if you look at what's happening in Israel and look at it over the generations, you will see that it is the alarm clock. And right now, Jesus is now emphatically saying it, that look, when Israel becomes a nation, that is, the fig tree comes to life, the generation that is alive on earth at that time will not have passed away before the end comes. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay? Next slide. So, Noah was there 100 years. He was preaching, teaching. And said, in fact, I think they probably will look at me and say, this man is not only crazy, there's no psychiatrist that can ever cure him. You get my point. I think they would have said so many things about him. And God now told Noah, begin to build the boat. Okay? It took him so many years to build that boat. Can you believe they didn't have salt? They didn't have, at first we know in the Bible, electricity wasn't there. They didn't have all the machines that we have now. At least the Bible didn't say that. But they built the boat, huge. You can see the dimensions in the Bible, Genesis. And when he finished, God says, right, take all the samples of the animals, your family first. So he took himself, the wife, and the three sons, and put them on the boat, and took the animals, and they stayed there. And people were watching him. I said, this man is so lunatic. There's no way anybody could cure him. Why must you listen to him? He's so mad. He's so lunatic. He's so crazy. Incredibly lunatic. Noah says that the judgment is coming. The earth is going to be destroyed. And they say, you see, this is what you said about him. Ever since the world was created, the world had never been destroyed. As a matter of fact, if you study the Bible from Genesis up to the time of Noah, there was never a single rainfall. I'll say that again. Look at how God created the universe and so on. What you had was mist, but there was not a single rainfall. If it happened, then it's not recorded. And Noah said, now the rainfall you're going to get is going to pour and pour and just destroy the whole universe. And they say, you are so mad, nobody should listen to him. Okay? Until he got into the boat and took all the animals. And what happened once he got into the boat? God himself shut the boat and sealed it so that it will not leak to sink the boat. And so they got in, and now God began to send the drizzle. And the drizzle became a heavy rain, and the heavy rain became a downpour and torrents. And suddenly, people who had been making jest and making mockery of Noah suddenly realized that they were being destroyed, as Noah had said. I can imagine what happened, that they went, but then God had shut the boat. Noah did not even have paddles. He didn't have engine to make the boat run. He didn't have sails or anything like that. But God said, make it, stay there, I'm in charge. And so the flood came, the water couldn't be drained, it was too much, and then the boat was lifted, okay? And they saw that they were drowning and sinking. I picture what they would have done. They would have gone to the gate of the boat. Noah, open the door, open the door. We're drowning. And the people drowning, remember, were not just people around. So many of them were relations of Noah himself, because Noah didn't drop from the sky. He must have had brothers, aunties, uncles, and all of them. Noah, it's me, open the door, let us come in. But God has closed the door. Even if Noah wanted to open it, he couldn't. And all of them did what? They perished. Except for Noah, the wife, and three sons, five of them. Oh, sorry, the wives of the sons. You know, the sons have their wives, so that makes eight in all. The reason I suspect, because we didn't hear much about the other people, was that even those seven were saved because of Noah. I don't know, but Noah is the one that the Bible talks about, that he found favor with God. He was righteous. He was he was blameless. Next one. Okay. Now, before we go leave Noah, I want us to learn these four lessons, or three of them here. The reason we need to learn these lessons is because we're going to be praying, even starting from tonight, after, you know, we finish this message. The first lesson is to recognize the urgency of the time in which we live. It is certain that Jesus will return soon. How soon? Nobody knows. But he's coming, because the time clock has already, the alarm has gone off. 20 days from today, is it 20? Somebody do the calculation for me. Today is 21st. 9 plus 14, how many days? That's 23. Yeah? 23 days from today, exactly, Israel is going to be 70 years since it was restored as a nation. Jesus was talking about the fig tree coming to life. That took place on the 14th of May, 1948. Do we get it? So 14th of May this year, next month, 23 days from now, Israel is going to celebrate the 70th anniversary. I beg you. This is a plea and beg. Take the word of God seriously. Jesus says,